الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Another good attribute that a mu'min should have is that they should be a person who should help other people in times of need. Then when they see there is someone who's in a pressing situation, a situation of need, a situation of want, some urgency, then a Muslim, a mu'min should help that person. In Quran there is a surah which is called Surah An-Naml. Naml in Arabic means an ant. And this is very interesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named this surah as Surah An-Naml. And in this surah there is a mention of an event that happened with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, who was going on a journey, and in the way there were some ants. And one of them said to the others that quickly, quickly make way, because the caravan of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is coming, and it's possible that they might crush you and they won't even know. So it's better that you go inside your bill, take refuge. So this ant, it had khair khwahi, it had this feeling of goodwill, concern and kindness for its fellow ants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Quran, the words of that particular ant. Qalat namlatun, that ant said, Ya ayyuhan namlu, that O my fellow ants, udkhulu masakinakum, that enter your houses, your homes, your builds, la yahtimannakum Sulaimanu wa junuduhu, perhaps Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and his lashkar, his caravan, might trample you with their feet. And the Mufassirin in the commentary of this ayah, they say that on this goodwill and this concern of this one ant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this kalam part of his own Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also named this particular surah as Surah An-Naml. Imagine when a person has khair khwahi for their fellows, when a person shows concern and kindness towards other people, then how much rank would this person have in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how beloved this person would be in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet said in a very famous hadith that khayrun nas may yanfa'un nas, that among humanity, among all people, the best among all of you, the best among human beings, it's the word an-nas, is that person who does benefit, who provides benefit to other people. So this is the definition of that person who's the best, that person who provides benefit to others. And this is something which is very much a part of our deen, because if you look at the Prophet ﷺ, even before Nabuwa, even before the manifestation of Nabuwa, the Prophet ﷺ had this khulq, this attribute, that he would help other people, help others who were at times of need, when they were in some pressing situation. Very famous story that when the first revelation came down, the Prophet ﷺ was in that cave Hira. And then on the way back, he was startled, he was surprised. He didn't know whether he'll be able to handle this responsibility of Nabuwa on his shoulders or not. So he came, he met his wife Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she provided those words of consolation. And in those words, what is she? She mentioned some things, she mentioned some akhlaq, some attributes of the Prophet ﷺ. And she says that, Kalla, that no way, this is not possible. Wallahi, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma yughzika Allahu abada, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste you away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste you away. And then what's the reason? Yani, she provides some evidence, some support, that why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not waste you away? She mentions a list, a whole list of attributes. First, She says, "Innaka latasilu rahim," that you join these ties of kinship. You do sila rahmi with others. Number two, watahmilu kalla. Those people who have no sahara, no support, you become their support. You help them. You become their pillar, and provide sustenance and support to such people. Number three, wataksibul ma'doom. That person who has nothing, you earn for them and you provide for them. And you help that person in their living, in their day-to-day living. And number four, wataqriya dhaif, that you are very mehman nawaz, that you are very hospitable, very generous, and you entertain your guests very well. And then number five, wata'inu ala nawaibil haqq, that you help people, those people who are on the haqq path, who are on the path of truth. So these sifat, these attributes were present inside the Prophet ﷺ even before the manifestation, the Izhar of Nabuwa. This is even before, and this is the kafiyat of the Prophet ﷺ. And we can then understand that these akhlaq, this character, these attributes were part of the Prophet ﷺ. And from the very beginning, the Prophet ﷺ had these akhlaq inside of him. And that's why we should also try to adorn ourselves with such akhlaq. And one of them is that a person should help others when they're in times of need, when there's some urgency, that when there's in some times of want or some pressing situation. And then the Prophet ﷺ, after Nabuwa, the manifestation of Nabuwa, for the remaining 23 years of his life, we are left with such teachings, such beautiful teachings about how to deal with other people, how to support other people, how to help other people when they are in some suffering, some worry, trying to relieve them of their grief. So one usul and principle that we are taught is irhamu man fil ard yarhamukum man fis sama, that if you show mercy to those people who are on this earth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show mercy upon you. This is such a simple principle, but such a beautiful principle, that that person who becomes Rahim and Kareem, this is takhalluqu bi akhlaqillah, that a person adorns themselves with the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what this means, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahim, so a person also tries to adorn himself with that sifat, with that attribute of rahma, with that attribute of mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Kareem, so a person also tries to adorn themselves with this attribute of karam. This is the pinnacle, the miraj of human being. This is the pinnacle of insaniya, that a person adorns himself with such akhlaq. And we look at Quran, there's this very beautiful story about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Many people that think about deen of Islam as if it's just only limited to salah and fasting and tasbih, and if we do these things, then we are a very big person, very religious person, very pious person. But another important thing in our deen is that a person should serve other people. There should be a person, there should be someone who help other people. So the story about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is very enlightening in that regard. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he had to leave his homeland, he was going in a foreign place. He also had this khawf, this fear in his heart. Khaifan, he was turning back, turning around and looking, just wanted to be sure that no one is following him. And he was also making dua to Allah Ta'ala, Rabbi najjini min al-qawm al-zalimeen, Allah save me from this qawm, from this zalim qawm. So he's in that situation, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him towards this place called Madian. And he's walking, he reaches a particular place. He's also very hungry by this time. Very hungry, he's extremely tired. There's no house, no place to take refuge, no friends that he can share his grief, share his concern with. He's completely alone. And then in one place he finds that there is a well, and near that well there is a tree, and he just sits underneath the shade of that tree. And he makes this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is mentioned in the Quran, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin fakir. That, O Allah, I'm needy, I'm mohtaj of whatever khair, of all the khair that you can give to me. I'm mohtaj of any ni'mah, of any blessing that you bestow upon me. What he sees next is that there are some people who have come near that well and they brought their goats and other animals with them, and they take water out and they give it to their animals. And then when they're leaving, they place a very heavy boulder on the mouth of that well and they start to leave. And meanwhile, he sees that there are two young girls who are close by, and they also have some goats with them, and they came and they approach the well now, and whatever remaining water is left, they try to take that water for their animals. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he sees this and he notices that these girls, they're needy. They have a zarura, that they need some help. These, you know, they don't have that taqa, that strength to be able to remove that boulder on their own. And I should help them. This is insaniyat. This is humanity. Then when you notice that other person needs your help, that they're in some difficult situation, then insan is that person who tries to benefit other people. Try to remove the difficulty from the other person. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes there. He asks that, why aren't you using this water? And they say that we are weak. Our father is za'if, he's very old. So whatever remaining, whatever leftover we have, that's what we use for our animals. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam removed the boulder and he gave water to them. Then Allah kishan, you know, these girls, they came back home. They were the daughters of Sayyidina Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam. And they told their father. So the father said to bring that person, call that person. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then came inside the house, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a house. He gave him a sanctuary, a home, and he also gave him a wife. He also gave Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam relatives. He was now one individual from the family of a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He married one of the daughters of a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was the reason for all of this? Khidmat. Serving other people. Helping others in times of need. And then he got the sohbat of Sayyidina Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, that became like nurun ala nur. And then after some time, he went away. He took permission and he went with his wife. And it was a winter season, and his wife, she was expecting. And in such a situation, a person himself is feeling very cold. But he felt that my wife, her tabiat, she's not doing well. And she needs more support. She needs my help. He sensed her need. And he said that, you stay here. I can see there's some fire at a distance. I will go get that fire for you, so that I can use that fire to provide warmth to you. And your hardship, your suffering will go away. So he went there to get fire for his wife. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him nabuwah in return. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And if you look at this whole story, you won't find any ibadah behind this. Behind that Sayyidina Musa is receiving nabuwa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no nafil salah, there is no dhikr, there is no ibadah. Both stories, what you find, the root, the foundation behind the scenes is the khidmah of Sayyidina Musa. It's this attribute that I have to help others when they're in times of need. So we understand that this is a true mu'min who has this sifat that when they see other people, they help them. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said in a very beautiful hadith, he mentioned four things in this hadith in Barakah, and each one of them is worth writing in gold. First thing, the man nafasa an muslimin qurbatam min qurabid dunya, that whoever relieves any grief, suffering, worry from a person, any grief of this dunya from a person, نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قُرُبَةً مِّن قُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return will remove the suffering from that person on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah will remove the grief of Yawm al-Qiyamah on that person. Allah will remove that worry on Yawm al-Qiyamah from that person. This is directly proportional. That whosoever removes any grief of a person in this dunya, in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah will remove the griefs of Qiyamah, will sufferings of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. Then the second thing that is mentioned in this hadith, وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُعْسِرٍ, that whoever relieves any person while they're in a state of hardship, either in times of need, some distress, some difficulty, and this person relieves that person, makes it easy, creates ease for that person, يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide ease to this person in this dunya and in akhirah. Many times a person is stuck in some difficulty, some distress, some hardship. And in such a time, if a person offers some moral support, some mashwara, helps that person, does something through which he provides and creates ease for that other person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create ease for this person in this dunya and Yawm al-Qiyamah. Third thing mentioned in this hadith, وَمَنْ سَتَرَ عَلَى مُسْلِمٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا, whoever conceals the faults of his Muslim brother in this world, سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal the faults of that person in this dunya and in akhirah. It's not just akhirah, it's also in this dunya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put a veil over his faults. And then the fourth thing is very ajeeb, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on assisting and helping that person, مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِهِ, as long as that person is helping his brother. Yani as long as a person is helping one another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the helper of that person. Today many people make dua that Allah help us, Allah create ease for us. Shariat, look at the beauty of our deen. It's teaching us that if you help others, then I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will become your helper. I will create ease for you. I will put your things right. And that person who has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their helper, then how is it possible that anything can be left incomplete? All the works and all the tasks of the dunya and akhirah will become completely sorted out for that person. So whoever helps other people, they remove the gham of that other person, they remove the distress of that person, this is khair khwai. This is a good person, this is the adah, this is the habit, the attribute of a true mu'min. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said that al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, that whoever Muslim is a brother of a Muslim. La yadhlimuhu, he does not do zulm on others. Wala yuslimuhu, and he does not hand over his Muslim brother towards other people. And then وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ, that whoever fulfills the need of his brother, كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَتِهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill the need of such a person. So this is what we call jaysa, whatever we do, that's how we will reap. This is an usul, a principle of the Sharia. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. That the way we react with other people, that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to act with us. It's dependent on our actions. How we deal with other people. How we engage with other people. How we help other people. This is such a beautiful principle and such a simple principle. That individual comes in Hadith Mubarak Bukhari Sharif. That whoever does rahim, shows mercy upon the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show mercy on such a person. People we say that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower us with His mercy, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cast a glance of mercy upon us, and we ourselves are not merciful towards other people. Then how is it possible that we can get that mercy of Allah? If we are not merciful towards others, then Allah will also not be merciful towards us. So that's why in another riwayat it's mentioned that person who becomes a source of pain for others, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعَذِّبُ, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also puts that person in some takleef. That person who becomes a source of distress for others, difficulty for others, musiba for others, hardship for others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah will also put that person through difficulty. trials and tests on that day. So we understand then that in order to prepare ourselves for Akhirah, this dunya is where we have to work. Our preparation for Akhirah depends on how we interact in this world with other people. In Akhirah, there will come a time when we won't have our wealth with us. There will be no factories that we have, no tijarat. There will be no mulazamat. There will be no working, no teaching, no studying, no uhda, no rank. We will be completely dependent. Muhtaj, fakir. We'll be very needy. We will be needy in a state of press, in a pressing situation, a situation of need, want, urgency, neediness. And we would want that someone should help us. But at that moment, this help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's conditional. And the condition is that did we help other people while we were inside this dunya? It's conditioned upon this. How we were when we were inside this dunya, how we treated other people. If we helped other people in this dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us in that moment. If we covered the jism, the body of some person in this dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover our bodies on that day. If we created ease for other people in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create ease for us on that day. That's why in Hadith Mubarak it comes that whosoever feeds a person who is hungry, in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah will give that person fruits of Jannah. And whoever gives water to a person in this world while that person is thirsty, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that person drink a rahiq makhtum. Allahu Akbar. And whoever covers the bare body of a person in this world, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover that person's jism, his body, with the libas of Jannah, with the clothing of Jannah. Such a beautiful concept the Deen of Islam has given us. You know, we read these Ahadith Mubarakah, and you know, there is no way that a person can then say that I will be inconsiderate. That it is not possible that to have such a cold attitude towards other people, cold feelings towards others. This is not the deen. This is not a mu'min. This is not a believer. That he doesn't care about what other people are thinking, what other people are feeling. Right? This is a person who is very considerate about other people. Wants to help others, aid others, assist others, benefit others, be a means of encouragement and support for others. Does acts of kindness towards other people. What is the time of need, the real time of need for us? Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that on Qiyamah, every person will be naked. They won't have their clothes. وَأَجْوَأَ مَا كَانُوا قَطُّ. And everyone will be standing in a state of hunger. And everyone will be standing in a state of thirst. And everyone will be standing underneath the sun. It's going to be such a day when the sun will be very, very close. And people will be sweating. And it will be very difficult for them to stand underneath that sun. And they'll be thirsty, they'll be hungry, they won't have clothes on their body. And then, he mentioned, فَمَنْ قَسَى لِلَّهِ, that whoever draped other people, provided clothing to other people, قَسَاهُ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide clothes to this person on that day. وَمَنْ عَطْعَمَ لِلَّهِ, whoever fed other people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will feed this person on that day. وَمَنْ سَقَى لِلَّهِ, whoever gave water for other people to drink, سَقَاهُ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give water to that person on this day. وَمَنْ عَمِلَ لِلَّهِ, that whoever acted for the sake of Allah ta'ala in this world, أَغْنَاهُ اللَّهُ ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that person ghani on that day. And وَمَنْ عَفَى لِلَّهِ, whoever forgave someone for the sake of Allah ta'ala in this world, أَعْفَاهُ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that person on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is preparation for Akhirah. This is preparation for that time when we will be very needy. And for that we have to prepare now. that when we give other people clothes to wear, we are actually sending this amal in front of us. This action will go in front, and on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use those clothes to drape us. When we give other people food to eat, this is going to be this food that we're giving to other people. This food will become our food in Yawm al-Qiyamah. It's going to become our source of nourishment on that day. This water that we give to other people, this water is going to quench our thirst on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So we should not think that I'm doing ihsan upon some other person. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me a return for all these things on Yawm al-Qiyamah, a better return. And on the other hand, if we don't make this preparation today, then on Qiyamah we won't have all these things to support ourselves. We'll be empty-handed on that day. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, he has mentioned this riwayah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that on the day of Qiyamah, one Jannati person will be looking, trying to look at the people who are in Jahannam. And this person will be in Jannat, but between Jannat and Jahannam there will be a wall which will be made transparent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they can see each other. So he will try to see who are the people in Jahannam. And one person from Jahannam will call out, from one person from the hellfire will call out his name and say, "Oh XYZ, oh Fala, don't you recognize me?" And he will say, "No, Wallahi, I don't recognize you. Who are you?" And he will say, "I'm that person that my house was very near to your house. And when you once walked near my house and you were thirsty and you asked water from me, I gave you one cup of water to drink. Do you remember?" He says, "Qad araftu, yes, 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 now I remember, I recognize you, that you gave me that glass of water to drink." Now we'll say, "Okay, fashfa'li biha inda rabbik. Can you please make intercession for me, intercession before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can you intercede on my behalf before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And this Jannati person will then intercede on behalf of this person in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept this intercession and will make this person enter into Jannah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So what action of this person was in Jahannam, was in hellfire. Which amal, which action saved him? That once he gave water, a glass of water, to a Jannati person. So if person can get Jannat on the basis of giving one glass of water, then we should give water. We should serve water to our kids, to our parents, to other people in our houses. This is an eye-opener for us. That we think that only ibadah is we are standing on the musalla, making tasbih. But this is also ibadah, that a person shares other people's grief. They lessen other people's suffering. They reduce their worries. They help other people. It's mentioned that when a person helps anyone while they're in some difficult situation, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person reward for 10 years nafil aitikaf. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ said that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, whoever removes and relieves some difficulty from the back of a person in this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person the shade. Allah will shade that person with his arsh on that day, in Yawm al-Qiyamah. And in one hadith it's mentioned there are 7 categories of people who will be shaded by the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. And they'll be sitting beneath that arsh and they will be enjoying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for them to enter into Jannah. Who are these 7 people? One is Al-Imamul Adil, meaning a just king, a just ruler. Number 2 is that washabun, that young man or young woman who spend their nojavani, their youth in ibadah. Yani they spend their prime time, their youth years, in ibadah, in zikr, in neki, in goodness, in piety, in taqwa, in acquiring ilm-e-deen, in doing da'wah. Yani they spend their life in this, they spend their youth in ibadah, and such a person will also be shielded by the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. Number three, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. That person whose heart is attached to the masjid. His niyat is that I want to pray in the masjid. He is always thinking about the masjid. He prayed one salah, came back, and then again wants to go back to the masjid and pray the next salah. Then number four, وَرَجُلَانِ. Two people, tahabba fillah, who love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who depart from one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, such a beautiful, such an easy way out now. Huh? That if you have two people who have this love between each other for the sake of Allah ta'ala, they have no ties of kinship, no, they're not close relatives, there's no tijarat and business going on, there is no worldly benefit, worldly profit. Fakat the muhabba, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two people who love each other only for the raza of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then because of this amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the share of His arsh on that day. Allahu Akbar. And number five, that young man who was invited to sin by a woman who was from a very good family and lineage, wa jamalin, and she was also very beautiful. Faqala, and this person then replies by saying, inni akhafullah, that I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, there's a general message here that someone invites you towards sin, and despite the invitation of sin, a person responds and says, inni akhafullah, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dar, this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who has this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also get the share of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. Number six is that person who spends, who gives sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but does it so secretly and silently that it's as if he gives it with his right hand and the left hand doesn't know. Yani the khufiya sadaqah, that you secretly give sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person will also get the saya, the share of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today our state is the complete opposite. We do sins with one hand in such a way that the left hand doesn't know that we sin with the right hand. We hide our sins. And the number seven is وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ, that person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in seclusion, in solitude. And he's sitting all alone and he's thinking and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and while he's doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starts to cry. Any tears come from, tears begin to flow from his eyes. This person is crying because of a muhabba for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a person will also get the share of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today people cry, and every person cries. People cry because of disease, people cry because of a loss, people cry because their zaruriyat, their needs are not fulfilled. And this is sometimes, no, people cry because of dunya. And there's another type of crying due to muhabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very rare. So that person who cries out of love for Allah, out of fear for Allah, then this person will also get the share of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this serving other people and helping other people, this is a very big ibadah. It comes in a riwayah that once the Prophet ﷺ, he was on a safar, he was traveling somewhere, and there were some people who had kept a fast. They were fasting. And those people were a bit more. People who were fasting were more. And there are a few people in that group who intentionally were not fasting, because they thought that this is a nafil fast, a nafil you have a choice, whether you want to keep it or you want to do iftar, you know, you don't want to fast. So they thought that we won't fast, and this was the deliberate decision. Why? Because they thought that this is nafil fasting, and you know, all of us, we are in travel and suffer, and this is summertime, it's extremely hot and humid, and people who are fasting, they are already in doing ibadah and they would need some help. They would need other people to help them to do their khidmah. So we just want to make ourselves available for that khidmah. And then this is exactly what happened. Then when the whole group reached their destination, so the people who were fasting, they were extremely tired. They just collapsed completely. They're extremely hungry, thirsty. And on the other hand, those people who were not fasting, they immediately set up the tents and they're pulling the saman and making arrangements and they're making all kinds of, making proper arrangements for those other people who were fasting. And they were, helping other people and doing, just running around, just doing khidmah of other people. And when the Prophet ﷺ, he saw this, he said, this is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, ذَهَبَ الْمُفْتِرُونَ الْيَوْمَ بِالْأَجْرِ, that today, those people who were not fasting, they took the lead in terms of reward. Any people who were fasting also got a reward for their roza, for their fast. But the people who were not fasting got a higher, greater reward. Why? Because they were helping other people. They were helping the people who were fasting. Because of this khidmah, they took the lead. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And there's also another story, similar, that one person, they were traveling in a journey, and there was one person who was always praying, engaged in tilawa. And the Sahaba Ikram, they saw and said, this is a very ibadat guzar, a very worshipping servant of Allah Ta'ala. And they came to the Prophet ﷺ and said that, Ya Rasulullah, look at that falah shaks, look at that falah person. He is always praying salah, engaged in tilawa, in ibadah. He doesn't do anything else. And the Prophet ﷺ said that, who does his other work? And who takes care of his worldly needs? And Sahaba Ikram replied that, Ya Rasulullah, he has two sons who serve him, who do his khidmah. And the Prophet ﷺ said that his two sons will get more reward than this person. So all these hadith mubarakah, they're telling us, they're teaching us this lesson, that when a person serves others, does khidmat of others, helps others, then this is a very big neki, a very big act of goodness, act of kindness in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messengers and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam practically demonstrated this. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went near a well to perform ghusl, and one Sahabi, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, went with him. And there was a need for someone to hold a curtain so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could do ghusl properly. So Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, he took this chadar and he provided that parda, that curtain. And then after the Prophet ﷺ completed the ghusl, he came out and said that, I've done my ghusl, now Huzaifa, you can go and you can do your own ghusl. So Sayyidina Huzaifa, he was thinking that, how is this possible? Who will put the curtain for me? And while he was thinking, the Prophet ﷺ took that chadar from him and said, I will hold the chadar, I will hold the curtain for you, and you don't need to worry. And the Sahabi says, Ya Rasulullah, how can you do this? And this is beneath your shan. And the Prophet ﷺ said, then what do you mean? If you can do the same to me, I can also do the same with you. If you do goodness to me, I will also do the same. I will return that favor to you. And then the Prophet ﷺ was holding that curtain, that chadar, and Sayyidina Huzaifa ﷺ, he performed his ghusl. So the Prophet ﷺ practically taught us that this is how a mu'min is supposed to be. This is the way of his living. This is how he lives. This is his attribute. This is his habit. That's why in one hadith it's mentioned that whosoever walks with the intention of helping other people, helping someone who's needy, then in return for this intention this person has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the sawab, the reward of performing i'tikaf for 10 years. Nafli i'tikaf for 10 years. And the hadith does not anywhere, it's nowhere mentioned in this hadith that whether this person was successfully able to complete the task at hand or not. It's not mentioned there. It just says that he just walked with this intention that he will help that other person. And just on this, his walking and his intention of helping other people, this person will get this maqam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this tarbiyah that the Sahaba had from the Prophet ﷺ, this was the mizaj of the Sahaba. That any time they found that other people are needy, they can contribute towards other people, help other people, Sahaba would raise one another in helping others in times of need. Once in Madinah Tayyibah, there was a shortage of water. Muslims did not have access to water. And far away there was a well, and that was also owned by a Jew. And people had to walk, travel a lot to get water from that well. And then this Jew, he also charged a lot. So the Muslims were in a very difficult situation. So Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he felt that the Muslims, they need that water. And I should make some intizam, should make some arrangement to relieve this hardship, to ease the situation of the Muslims. So he went to that Jew and said that if you want to sell this well, I'm willing to buy it from you. So that Jew said that, no, I have no intention of selling. This is my source of income. I won't sell it. So then Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he presented a proposal to him that I'm willing to give you whatever you demand. Just tell me the price, I'm willing to pay that price to you. But still that Jew, he refused. He said, this is the source of my living. I'm not going to sell this. But Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was also, at the end of the day, he was a businessman. So he played then the trick of business. And he said, look, let me make another proposal to you. That I'll pay the whole amount of money to you, and what you can do is in return make me half owner of this well. And you sell half of this well to me. And this well will be half yours and half mine, even though I'm making full payment for the entire well. Now the Jew was interested. He said, okay, I'll take all the payment, all the money for you for the full payment for the full well, but I'll only give you half right in this well. So payment was made and this contract was sealed. Now they started negotiating that how can we divide this well into two parts. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu said to him that the way we can decide this is as follows, that one day you can take out water from this well and then the next day I can take out water from this well. He agreed. And then for some time this sequence continued, that one day the Jew will take out water and the next day Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu will take out water from that well. After a few days passed by, then Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, that day on which it was his turn to take out water from that well, he announced that whoever wants to take out water from this well, I won't charge any money. Free water for sale for free. Now when people saw that we can get water for free, so they used to wait for that day. They used to wait for the day of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, and waiting for one day was not so difficult. And on that day they would get all the water to be able to fulfill their needs. And when the Jew, when it was his turn, no one would come to him. And gradually, he had no customers, no one would pay him any money. So that Jew, he waited 1-2 months. And then afterwards, he came to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu and said that, if you want, you can buy the other half from me also. And then Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu gave him more money and he bought the entire well from him. And then after buying the entire well, he presented that well to the khidmah of the Prophet ﷺ and said that I'm making this well waqf. This is an endowment for the Muslims. And this was the preparation for his akhirah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Once Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he got some wealth from tijarat, some camels laden with wealth, And when he entered Medina Tayyiba, and whatever stuff he had, this was very high prime quality, very much in demand at that time in Medina Munawwara. So the Jews, they reached him and said that we are willing to buy this wealth from you, this cloth from you, whatever he was selling, and we're willing to pay you double the price. Yani, for example, if it was 100, we're willing to pay you 200 for this. So Sayyidina Usman said that what you're willing to pay me is less. Your profit, you know, this profit margin is less. So one of them said that, okay, I'm willing to pay you three times. If it's 100, I'll pay you 300 for this. Again, he said this is less. One of them said, I'll pay you 400. Yeah, again, he refused. Then one person said, I'm going to pay you 500. He said, again, no, this is too less. Now when he said this is such, you know, this is less, people were surprised. So one Jew, he asked that, who will pay you more than what we are paying you? More than five times. So then Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala explained that there is one customer who is willing to pay me 70 times the price. And he asked who? He said, my Parwardigar, my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise to me is that if I spent one penny in his path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give me 70 in return. So the whole caravan, whatever wealth he had, he spent the whole of it in the path of Muslim, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fi sabilillah. He made a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should think about, you know, this is how the Sahaba used to make deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person makes a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to manage that deal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to repay that deal. Allah ta'ala knows how to return that favor. In one hadith mubarakah, it's mentioned that whoever walks with the intention of helping his Muslim brother, then for each step that he takes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him 70 good deeds and 70 of his sins will be forgiven. And if he is able to fulfill the need of that person, and he, for whatever reason he started walking, if he was able to, was successfully able to help the other person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of his sins. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Yani, all the sins of that person will be forgiven. It's like a delete button. Everything will be forgiven. In one book, Mukashafatul Qulub, it's written that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created some people so that these people will help other people. You know, the reason for their existence, for their creation, is so that they will help other people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place them inside Jannah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And they will be sitting on the mimbar of Noor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do hamkalami with them. Allah will speak with them. So our Akabareen, our Salaf Saleheen, they had this khuluk inside of themselves, that they used to help other people. They were people of khidma, helping others when they would see that others require that help. And not just people, they would even help, they would even be considerate towards animals, the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once, Hazrat Abdullah bin Jafir radiallahu ta'ala, he had a lot of garden, you know, he had a big garden with a lot of trees. And one person from Habsha, Abyssinia, used to work in that garden. And one day, Hazrat Abdullah bin Jafar came to see his garden, and he saw this person from Habsha was working. And he was working, he was sweating profusely. It was afternoon time, and the sun was out, and it was time for him to rest. And he had two pieces of bread with him. And finally he came and he wanted to eat. Before he was able to eat, he saw that there was a dog nearby. And that Habshi person, gave one bread to that dog. That dog ate that bread and then still started looking and expecting more. So this person, he took the second bread and gave that also to that dog. And he bought the bread, both whatever roti that he had, he gave it to that dog. And he then stood up and then went back to work. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far, he asked him that, "You didn't eat anything today." So he said something very interesting, that, you know, in this region that we live, there are no dogs. And I noticed that there's this dog here, which means that this has come, you know, this dog has come from somewhere else. He doesn't belong here. And he's extremely hungry. And the way it was looking at me, I could know this was extremely hungry. So I gave him one bread and then I gave him another bread. And as far as I'm concerned, then I can eat at some other time. I'll prefer to remain hungry, I can eat some other time. So Abdullah ibn Ja'far, when he heard this, he felt so much love for this Habshi Sahaba. He said that whatever all the gardens, all the trees that you see here in this garden, I'm going to give this to you as a hadiah. And he gave all of that as a gift to this person. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then helps. This is the madad of Allah ta'ala. This person, he helped a dog. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the owner of all these gardens, of all these trees. There is a riwayah that is mentioned, which is ajeeb. Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud, he narrates this, that there was a person from Bani Israel who was a very worshipping servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much so that he had done worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 60 years in his hujra. Then after some time, there was a woman who came and set her tent nearby, and this person, he glanced at her, and shaitan placed a desire in his heart, and he left that place where he was doing ibadah and spent 6 nights with that woman and committed that sin of zina with her. Then he went back to his masjid, to his hujra, and again engaged in ibadah, but he was very ashamed of himself, extremely guilty, had nadama, remorse. For 3 days he didn't eat anything. That, what have I done? After 3 days he took out one roti, one bread from his bag, and he wanted to eat. But right at that time when he was about to eat, two beggars came at his door, and he divided that roti, that bread, into two parts and gave one part to each. And himself, he remained hungry. He didn't eat anything. That moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Malakul Maut, and this was the time when he passed away. They took his ruh and he passed away. Then when his hisab and kitab, that process started. 60 years of his ibadah was placed in one scale, and those 6 nights that he spent in sin were placed on the other scale, and those 6 nights were heavy. 6 nights were very heavy. Those 60 years of ibadah could not compensate for these 6 nights, and he was very worried, and was announced that, "Let this person enter into Jahannam." But then right at that time, those two pieces of bread that he gave to the sa'il, they were placed inside the scale of his goods, and the scale of his good deeds became heavy. So 60 years of ibadah was not able to take him inside Jannah, but those two pieces of bread that he gave to sa'il, they became a source of najat for that person. So this is what the deen of Islam is, that a person should have this attribute, that they show consideration towards others, this act of benevolence, act of kindness, goodwill, concern, care for other people. In one very beautiful hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that that person who helps other people in times of need, then I will be standing near the mizan on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and when this person's hisab will be the angels will be taking his hisab. If his good deeds are heavy, then very well, this person will enter into Jannah. On the other hand, if his good deeds are not heavy, his bad deeds are heavy, then I will intercede on this person's behalf, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of my intercession, will grant this person Jannah. Yani, the meaning of this hadith is that that person who helps others in times of needs, this person will get the shifa'at of the Prophet ﷺ on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the best example for all of us is the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet ﷺ used to love helping other people. In one hadith mubarak, it's mentioned that a young girl came to the Prophet ﷺ and said that, Ya Rasulullah, my mother, she is very old. She cannot come towards you, but she is remembering you. So the Prophet ﷺ immediately stood up and said, came out of the masjid and said that, wherever you want to take me, I'm willing to go. And I want to listen to what your mother wants to say to me. And then all of us know that very famous story of that old lady who hadn't accepted Islam as yet, and she would throw garbage on the Prophet ﷺ, and she would say bad things about the Prophet ﷺ. And then one day when she was sick and she needed support and help, the Prophet ﷺ came to his door and helped her. The Prophet ﷺ eased her difficulty, eased her hardship, and she wasn't able to recognize that who is this person. And then when everything was done and the Prophet ﷺ was about to leave her house, she asked that, who are you? And tell me your name. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that, my name is Muhammad ﷺ. And she immediately broke down. Tears came trickling through from her eyes, and it struck her heart that I used to think about the Prophet in such a way, used to do so much eza and say such bad things about the Prophet, and look at the akhlaq of the Prophet, that this is none other than the Prophet himself. And immediately she recited the kalma and she became Muslim. So Allah Ta'ala gave hidayah to that old girl, to that old woman. This was the adah, this was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So we should also think about this aspect of our life. How can we help other people? How can we create ease for other people? How can we remove grief and suffering from other people's life? How can we help others when they're in times of need? To notice that this person needs. They might not express their need to you, but to be on the watch out, to notice other people, to be caring towards other people. Sometimes people, they have a bit of, you know, they won't tell you that openly that we are needy. But a person, a moment, should have that concern. They should be on the lookout. They should have that care, that kindness, that benevolence in their heart. They should plan how we can help other people. Sometimes we can just plan, it's the weekend, I have nothing to do, let me plan how I can be a source of benefit for other people. Maybe I can benefit my relative, I can provide some solace to my friends, I can maybe help my Muslim brother, my Muslim sister, some mu'min. This is something which we don't see in our schedules, we don't see in our lives, illa mashallah. So this is something which we have to work on. This khidma for the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us were ghafil of this aspect, but this is something which we need on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because on Qiyamah, all of us will be needy. All of us will be in a situation of urgency, pressing situation. On that day, we'll need that help. On that day, people will be standing without clothes. They will be standing without anything to wear. They'll be hungry, thirsty. We'll need that shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll need clothes. We'll need food. will need water. And how fortunate would be those people who used to help people, other people in this world, and because of that they would get all those ni'mat in akhirah. They will be able to get into Jannah without hisab. They will be sitting on the mimbar of Noor, and they will be doing ham kalami with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His rahmah, also include our names also among such people. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي لا الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.